Now, as you heard in that headline update, a fault on one of the two power cables linking the North and South Islands this morning led to a warning of possible power cuts by the grid operator Transpower. Generators were asked to increase supply and consumers to reduce power use. The fault was fixed by 8 a.m. The emergency declared over. Transpower's now begun an investigation into what happened and why. Transpower's chief executive is Alison Andrew. Alison, thanks for being back with RNZ this morning. Good morning.
Morena, Catherine.
Just to recap, so people woke up to the news around 6 this morning that a warning notice had been issued about insufficient generation and that power companies had been asked to ramp up generation. What did you know at that time?
We had a fault on the HVDC system. That's the high voltage DC system that carries electricity between the two islands, North and South Island, around 5 o'clock this morning. Power was still flowing, but it meant that we were at risk of a second fault that could suddenly stop the flow of electricity. And if that happened, and we didn't have sufficient reserve generation in the North Island, then there'd be the risk of cascade failure and widespread power outages. So everything we did this morning was about ensuring we had sufficient reserves to cover for that risk. It was not related to the calls to industry earlier in the week for additional generation to cover this unseasonal cold snap around the country. The industry responded really well to that request, and we did have sufficient generation going into this morning's peak before the fault occurred. We do prepare for situations like this, so the control centres began immediately working with industry to manage the risk. First, we put out this customer advice notice you talked about to ask for any additional generation available to be made available as soon as possible to see if we could increase the reserve buffer in the North Island. And shortly after that, we sent out the warning notice telling lines, companies and industrial customers that are connected directly to the grid to be prepared to reduce demand from 7:30 in the morning if necessary. And that is initially done by lines companies switching off consumers' hot water systems. And some lines companies regularly switch off hot water systems to manage peak demand, particularly in winter, without consumers noticing. And it's a key tool we can call on to manage grid security. Then at 7:15, we called a grid emergency, which allows us to work with the lines companies to move ahead and switch off this controllable load. We took off about 180 megawatts of demand out of the system, which really improved our reserve situation. And at the same time, we got our service providers and our engineering teams out on site at Haywards really quickly this morning. They were there very promptly, and they managed to fix the fault in the HVD system by 7:45. That took the risk away. We were able to end the grid emergency and start working with the lines companies to restore controllable load. You know, we do prepare for these sorts of situations. These grid faults are not common, but they can occur. And the industry did come together well to manage the risk with no impact on electricity supply to consumers other than a short interruption to the hot water systems. I do want to thank people who responded to our request just to make sure they were managing where they could any discretionary load on the system as we came up to the morning peak.
Okay, just a couple of things to keep clarifying, if you could. You mentioned this morning that the fault on this HVD system was a rare one, and I know you were asked earlier on Morning Report whether it could be linked at all to pressure and unseasonal pressure on the system at the moment. You said no at that time. Have you got any clearer on what caused a rare fault?
No, Catherine, I'm sorry. I'm sure listeners will understand. It occurred at 5 o'clock this morning. Our teams are on site within 20 minutes, which is a pretty good response, out of bed early. And I'm working really hard understanding the concern about disrupting consumers. The efforts were focused on trying to get the equipment, the system back up and running. We will now do a very detailed study and understanding investigation, what actually happened, why it happened, what can we learn from it, what can we do to prevent that happening again, and to understand it. It's too early for us to get further information at this time.
I appreciate that. I guess the bigger question, we'll get to it another time perhaps, is You know, we've been talking a lot just this week, and you've been talking yourself recently about what needs to happen to the electricity system to deal with what is going to be significantly increased load. And will that be part of it, just taking a longer-term picture over how all of this gear is operating and is likely to cope?
Yes, it's a really important question for us to be constantly asking as part of our asset management. How critical are assets? How important is their service? What sort of redundancy do we have to have in the systems? How much reserve do we carry? You'll understand, I'm sure our listeners will understand, the challenge you have between improving resilience, so more and more pieces of equipment so that you have redundancy when things go wrong. That just costs money, or you carry more reserves, so you carry more spare capacity. We have to balance, in engineering, power systems all around the world are constantly balancing this increase in resilience on the system versus the increase in cost it takes to do that. And we're constantly asking those sorts of questions and understanding and working with industry and our regulators around resilience and systems and how critical assets are and making sure we maintain them well and understand what sort of redundancy we have.
When you were asked on Morning Report this morning also about how we'd run close to the wire several times this year, right, and it seems to be more frequent, you mentioned about not having as much residual as you would like. Now, is this where we are getting into, again, a longer-term picture of saying, do we need some kind of substantial reserve infrastructure investment?
Just want to make clear, just answer your question in a second. Just to be clear, this morning's emergency was unrelated. We had sufficient generation on the system. So this morning was a transmission system fault.
I understand, you mentioned that's when you can turn to the residual, right, to try and buffer
not residual, that's the reserve market.
Understood. Okay. So when you mentioned residual, what were you referring to this morning?
Yes, but when we're running the power system in a normal situation, we like to have amount of residual, which is the amount of generation over and above what you're predicting the load to be, so that you can have a bit of buffer in your system if demand is higher, whether it's colder, your wind forecasts aren't as accurate as they need to be, or something happens. That's different to carrying reserves. The market actually carries a reserve capacity. This is on top of that. And we like to carry a buffer of about 200 megawatts of residual in the system. And the situations you've been talking to this winter have been when we have been tighter than we would have liked. So at times that residual excess generation over expected demand has been under what we like, that 200 buffer. And that's when we've been talking to industry, issuing customer advisory notices, having industry conferences, seeing what we can do to get the increase in generation, to get that buffer, that residual above the 200. And just to be clear, that's over and above the reserves that we carry. And the reserves are for carrying things like if you have a piece of equipment, a major failure, you don't then go into a cascade failure. We have what we call AUFLs, automatic under-frequency load shedding, which all power systems have a system like this around the world, such that if you get to a major fault on your system, you can't catch it. This automatically sheds a large portion of load, so you avoid a cascade failure. And all our work we do is to avoid going into AUFLs where we can.
They're well named, aren't they?
They are. We do like acronyms, and that's a particularly well apt one.
Alison, I appreciate it's not entirely related. It just coincided this week with a lot of overview we've been doing of the massive changes that are going to be needed, and Transpower's investment will be part of it. It a predicted much bigger ramp-up of supply over the years, and perhaps we'll come back and talk to you again in different contexts. But for now, thank you for updating us, and we'll look forward to hearing more when you do know about the cause of that fault, the investigation underway. Thank you. Transpower's Chief Executive is Alison Andrew.